And yet he created a home right there in that prisoner of war camp. And I was thinking, what is he doing? He's singing. He's feeding people. He's using humor. He sees somebody over there. He's accompanying that's lost their will to live, and he's picking lice out of their hair and talking them back with their will to live. So here he is in this dire, horrible situation, much worse than we are today even. And he created a home, and he created love and belonging and a feeling of hope.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Man, we have got a local legend on tap for you today. Joe De La Sega, friend of mine, friend of Capon's men, friend of the calls of Father Capon, father of one of the miracles of Father Capon. Now, you're going to be blessed with a cool conversation just about life, about home, and even we talk about the retreat coming up in October. So I just want to encourage you as you listen today. This is a man who's given a tremendous amount to the cause of Father Capon, and he does all of it with his beautiful, humble spirit. So listen closer to his heart, be encouraged, be challenged, and maybe be inspired to make the plans to come to Wichita, in October for the Capon's Men retreat this fall, and just enjoy the fact that he is a man who has lived very deeply his love for Jesus. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the blessings you've given to us. I thank you for Joe De La Sega, for his family. I thank you, Lord, for his faith. I thank you for the times he's spoken words of encouragement and joy into my life. And I pray, God, that anyone who's listened to this podcast today is inspired to learn more about Father Capon, to invite his intercession in their life, and to make their home a space where you, Jesus, are first and foremost, and the relationships with our brides and our children are spaces that we can encourage everyone to become more holy and grow closer to you. I ask all these things through the prayers of Father Capon, through the intercession of Father Capon, and I ask through the Sacred Heart of Jesus and through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary that you are just with this holy conversation. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Joe De La Sega, welcome to the Foxhole, my friend.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be with you.
Friends in the Foxhole, this is a big deal. This is like having the GOAT, the greatest of all time in the Foxhole with me. A good friend, somebody who inspires me, somebody who keeps me going in the faith, a local hero in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So I'm just going to invite Joe to just have a holy conversation with me around a lot of stuff. And I think everyone's going to be blessed by this conversation. So, Joe, I'm not even going to let you get off without jumping right into some pretty tough stuff. Your group in Pittsburgh, Kansas, of men mean a tremendous amount to me. I can almost remember it was almost 10 years ago when you invited me to speak to them at 4:30 in the morning and thinking, this is crazy. Who gathers at 5 o'clock in the morning? But you guys have created... and I know there's a lot of people. I know you're humble enough not to take full credit for creating everything, but you've been a part of Capon's Men, Joe, from the very beginning. And I would even say we're part of building the very beginning, and it's thrived at your parish. So if you don't mind, for the audience listening, give us a little background into all of that and maybe even how you've managed to be part of a group that to this day is still moving and growing and challenging men.
Love to, Joe. I've been extremely blessed to be part of a parish that is, it's truly phenomenal, and been blessed to have a tradition that has put forth so many great people. And our parish, I think it kind of starts there in that the parish is very unique in that we've been committed to Catholic education for over 100 years. And I really think it starts there, and I think the good Lord has blessed our efforts because of that. We fought through when a lot of parishes have given up on their Catholic high school. We fought through that for years. Actually, when I was going to school, we actually have a chip on our shoulder, I think, because we went to school with that. High school is going to close because we didn't have any money. And we lived with that. And I think that we had a chip on our shoulder because of that. But it always stayed open. Somebody came forward or families came forward to keep it open. And I think because of that, we fought through that. There was a bonding that happened with our grandparents and our parents. And I think we were the benefactors of that, which kept us very close. And I think that closeness is what the people say, how do you do it in Pittsburgh? I think there's a closeness, and it came forward with our men. Several years ago, as far as Cape and Men, to answer your question, we had That Man Is You, which there were a lot of that men groups around the country, and great men's organization. It didn't quite work for us as far as the curriculum. And so we started going rogue and doing some of our own programming. And as we did our own content, that became more and more difficult. We began looking for other, certainly there's other men's groups out there that would be a little bit more aligned with what we were looking for. We were getting 50, 60 men that would show up. And you're right, it wasn't 4:30, it was 4:30 Eastern time. We're in Pittsburgh, Kansas, so it was 5:30 our time. And that was the only reason that was, we had several men that had businesses that we were very manufacturing oriented. Or they had to get to work. And then also we had 6:30 mass as a hard stop. Several of our men are daily communicants, and that was a non-negotiable. So we're like, well, if we're going to do this and we're going to do it for an hour, we had to be there at 5:30. And we told ourselves, you know what, this might be the one hard thing we have to do for God every week, and just show up at 5:30. And so it kind of became a mantra that we're going to do this, and it became a beautiful thing. And we were getting 50, 60 guys showing up, which was amazing. And so as we started to look, couldn't really find anything. And we're a very entrepreneurial group. That's what we're kind of known for in Pittsburgh, is our business entrepreneurialism. And so our first thought was, we'll just start something new. And as we began to look out there, couldn't quite find what we were looking for, and started to develop this idea. And then Father Capon being so prevalent in our diocese, and then we had the incident with my son, Nick, which we could talk about here in a bit. But Brandon Brill, who was in our group, had this inspiration as we were struggling with names for our group and how we would organize, and had this little inspiration one evening that he sent us a text. As he said, he was on his bed and he fell to his knees as he's typing this. It's got to be Capon's Men. And that's how the name started. And from there, everything just fell in line. We needed content. And it's coincidental. You were happening in our lives right then. And as you know, we pulled you in, and you and I run to Wichita and start going, let's live into this and do a video series. As we're doing our own content, let's do video, and let's go in and figure out who Father Capon was. And as we went in and started doing that content and video, it just, who really Father Capon was. In that first video series, it really came alive for me. And it was just such a joy to get to do that first video with you so many years ago. But that's how Capon Men came to be. The interesting thing, though, one of the first retreats we did, and you led that retreat, and I don't know if you remember, but you sent us out at the end of the retreat, and you said, you have something special here, guys, but you have to do something with it. And you have to, what are you going to do? You have to share this. And so we went out and we said, well, how are we going to share this? And at the time, we had no idea what it would be. But we really took that to heart. And so to see what's happened with Capon's Men, it started as a grassroots effort. And to see how it's exploded to men's groups, not only in our diocese, but across the country, and even a couple of chapters international, has just been nothing short of a miracle in itself. But that's how Capon Men got started. It was just a grassroots effort started by some guys in a parish that were 2.5 hours away from the diocesan office, and it exploded when the idea was picked up at the diocesan office, and the diocese saw it and put resources to it and added people like Scott Carter. And from there, the rest is history.
Yeah, one of the beauties of people in Kansas, those that are listening to the podcast right now, I will tell you, is there's a beautiful humility that they have. I mean, Joe tells that in 2.5 minutes, something that I was just in awe of the holiness and goodness of the men in Pittsburgh, Kansas, their zeal for the faith, many of them are daily communicants. And I think that is important to note, is that I don't think you ever set out to build anything, Joe. I just think the Lord built something by you just having more trust in Him. So you mentioned, and I think we have to probably go here pretty quickly, into Nick and what happened with Father Capon. I mean, I know we've had Nick on the podcast, and he spoke certainly about his experience. But as a father, how was that to enter into the story? And you may have to give a little background for those that haven't heard that episode. And how did Father Capon personally affect you and your family and your faith?
Yeah, and I think I get asked that often, and the story is, it's really Nick's story, and Nick tells it so well. But you know, to be perfectly healthy, college athlete, and at the prime of his life, a couple of years out of college, running at 5K, and to go down and to be out for 10 minutes, and yeah, the heart stopping, and to receive great CPR. Be hoisted into the ambulance. My brother, the physician for over 35, 40 years, and was one of the first responders, and actually said that, you know, he's seen the look of death, and Nick had that look, and as he was put into the ambulance, and then the empty feeling he had as it was taken off to the hospital, and the one incident in his whole story that just still gives me goosebumps was the two EMTs who will tell you they were getting ready to put the trach in, and that they knew that this was a terrible situation, and Nick was out of it, and all of a sudden he just opens his eyes and said, you know, what are you doing? And called them by name, and they just looked at each other, but both of them, Michael and Jordan, looked at each other and said, did you feel that? And they both articulated the exact same feeling. That was, it felt like a bolt of lightning had hit the ambulance. When that happened, my nephew Jonah had fallen to his knees right at the site with Nick and had prayed to Father Capon. My niece, when she got the news, had gone straight into a chapel at a school and asked for Father Capon to intercede. My mom was actually, as the ambulance went by, didn't know who was in it, and said a prayer right then. You know, so not to Father Capon, just prayed, you know, for, as she does anytime an ambulance would go by. So we don't know, you know, is that a miracle? I you know, but to come, you know, from that to wide awake, and, you know, is eating spaghetti 4 hours later and has a defibrillator and a pacemaker a day later, it was amazing. And so for me, I was out of town when I got that message with Janice. Actually, none of his immediate family was in town. I think God made that, because people who were on the site said that as they ran by and looked at Nick, they couldn't even recognize who he was on the ground. His face and everything had become just so distorted. And so I think he saved us from that image. So I didn't have, you know, so many people who are going through tough situations, it's over such a long period of time. I say it was like a microburst. Our situation almost was up and down so fast. So for me, it was the 4 months afterwards and 5 months that was the anguish, because they thought it was Brugada, sudden death syndrome. And if you look that up, it's sudden death, but it happens in male late 20s. It could recur. And so we lived through this kind of hell of everybody in our family got tested. There were certain situations we all kind of had, you know, with the heart. And so it was is it going to happen again? Is he stable? And so we lived through this period till we could find and get to Mayo to, you know, I couldn't wait. What happened? How are we going to fix that? Is he going to be okay? But the beautiful thing happened in that period that was amazing for me when you asked to answer your question, Joe, is the word I used was, the whole time people ask, how do you feel? And I said, I'm overwhelmed. I was just overwhelmed that he might have been gone and he came back. In the Bible, if you read the miracles, there's the words you see often: astounded. People were astonished. People were amazed. I was overwhelmed. It was the exact same feeling people felt when they saw Jesus do something extraordinary and perform a miracle. I went through a period of extreme gratitude. I woke up in the morning and my first thought would be, thank God Nick's alive. And then one day I woke up and I was like, well, thank God you ever blessed us with Nick. For some reason, I thought that was Janice and I's decision. And then I woke up and I was like, well, thank God for all of our children. Thank God for Janice. And it just exploded. It went into thank God for the relationships. Thank God for the people in my life. Thank God for friends. Thank God for all those people that had just showered us with love and during the event and then during this period after. And then that evoked a response that said, I don't want to run to you, God. I wanted this relationship to continue. I wanted this gratitude. It felt so good in my appreciation, that a desire for the relationship. And while we was a daily communicant, doing a lot of service to the church, but this desire for the relationship was at a heightened level. It was a real raw, and it led to the need for encounter. I'd always, we had heard the word encounter, but like no ever before. And then you start thinking, well, what does encounter look like? Well, the encounter is through the scripture, it's through mass, it's through adoration, it's through prayer. So all of those got better. And there was a lot of grace in those 3 or 4 months as we were off balance, we were worried, we were just real anxious. But yet the encounter was just amazing. And then after you get through the encounter, it ended with the process of discernment. It's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Am I doing the right things? And I think, Joe, at the end of it, that process, I really came away with, God doesn't give me tomorrow. He doesn't get any of us. He didn't give Nick tomorrow. And that was a gift. And so every day is a gift. I don't want to go to bed with relationships not good. I didn't. And I wanted to do today, there's this, you can get into this feeling of, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to serve my community when I retire. Well, again, let's do it today because we don't have tomorrow's not a guarantee. So it was a life-changing 3 or 4 months. We got to Mayo and they basically said, we can't explain what Nick happened. If you think of heart as plumbing and electrical, Nick's plumbing is perfect. Everything was amazingly perfect. And that day, something happened in the electrical and they did all the studies and they said, we can't explain it. So you're just going to live in a purgatory. Go live your life and do what you do. But they didn't call it a miracle, but it was liberating to hear them say that. And we really got on with life. But it was an amazing 4 months, probably the most intense 4 months of spirituality growth that I've ever experienced. And it had a profound effect on me and a lot and all of us in our family. Not to mention Nick, but actually Nick went through it. He was always already going to church daily and doing so much. He kind of went through it like it was a Sunday afternoon in the park. I mean, he was doing a lot of these things. I don't know. It was amazing to watch him go through that process. But he was so calm and so peaceful through all of it. Even that was inspirational.
It's interesting, Joe, now that it's a little bit more in the rearview mirror, I remember the phone call from your bride. I remember watching your family agonize through the testing and the what's going to happen and what's the long-term implications. And I've started to think more recently that, Nick's wasn't the only life saved that day. Through the intercession of Father Capon, I think a lot of us took hard looks at the way we were living. And maybe we were all doing good things, but maybe it was a call to do more and to be more extraordinary in our love for our families and our love for the day and our love for the challenges even that God puts in front of us. So, Joe, I'm going to shift gears a little bit because we have invited you into the Father Capon Comes Home series. And I think one of the beauties of Pittsburgh, Kansas, is that it's a small town of people in a beautiful community who love the Lord, but who love each other deeply as well. And so talk to me a little bit about Now that you've had this experience with Father Capon, clearly in your own personal life, but what does it mean that we're bringing home Father Capon to you and maybe even to the guys around you?
You know, you've asked that question to everybody in the last couple of weeks, haven't you? So it's funny because the first thing is, when I heard that they had found him, you're so excited. And then you're like, kind of like, why am I so excited? I mean, and you know, I found I had to come to grips with that when I was so blessed to be asked to work on the team that was actually planning the event for When Father Comes Home. And we were trying to, we had one evening where we spent a whole evening trying to figure out the tone for the event. You know, it's not a ticker tape parade. It's not a, you know, it's not solemn, but it's respectful, but yet it's 70 years later. And so, but yet we're so excited. And so it's really been, for me, it's been a process. So I guess when I think of home, Joe, I think of things like, you know, love and safety, security, acceptance, and belonging. So I'm just thinking, what, how does that fit in with this? So there would be a couple feelings I have. One is a sense of fulfillment. And it would start that fulfillment for the people of Pilsen, Kansas. You know, they gave their favorite son, and Father Capon's parents did. First, they gave him to the church, and then the church, and they gave their son to the army and to our country. And there's some fulfillment that comes that in that process, he's coming home. There's completion and finality that's done. And I think the way the army continues to pursue the remains of POWs, is an amazing thing. I've learned a lot more about, even these 70 years later, that there is still a need to connect that person to that community, even if their immediate family isn't there. So is, I think that there's pure joy in my heart for the people of Pilsen to be able to recognize that they've been waiting for this. That's one. I think also, sealing this chapter in this amazing virtuous life. You know, Jack Corbell talked about amazing virtue. And when we did the first series, the virtue series, that's the first thing about Father Capon that just you can't miss is his virtue. And how he served those POWs. And I think coming home means to me, what I've learned as I've gotten deeper to understand this amazing priest and this man, is that the impact that he's had on our priest, not just in our diocese, but particularly in our diocese of Wichita, the number of priests that have come to the priesthood because of Father Capon's story, because of his example, is amazing, and they're tied to him, but also the chaplains in our military. But he also, Father Capon, there's an excitement level amongst Capon's men. There's an excitement level amongst all those people who've gone through Capon High School that have come to know him and to love him. Military people's students. And people of Wichita who've read his story and have gotten to know him deeper. So I think there's a real fulfillment aspect. I think there's also kind of a surreal thing at a spiritual level about coming home, and for me with this, and I've kind of am leaving it to the Holy Spirit, of not trying to have expectations of what this means to me as far as what the actual vigil and the mass are going to be like, just leaving it in God's hands. But there's something about God's timing for this, like, why now? I know that's been asked by a lot of people, but why now? The just the infinite wisdom in God's timing. And I think that there's something, there's some reason that this is the time for us to be able to pause amidst a lot of craziness in the world and to celebrate a really simple man, an ordinary man who did extraordinary things amazingly well that we can relate to, and we can bring all of this craziness a little closer to our own home. So those are a lot of thoughts, Joe, but I think it's all those dynamics working together that make this a really big deal for me.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into this in a good way, because there are a lot of people that aren't going to be able to be there when Father Capon comes home, that maybe are listening to this podcast that are around the country. And I guess I want to lean in to your wisdom a little bit. You've accompanied guys for years. You've accompanied me and helped us to grow spiritually. And I think at this time in history, the home is as disconnected and discombobulated as it's ever been. And what do you say, Joe, to the man listening right now who's struggling? Maybe his family situation's rough, or his, even driving home, he's like, oh, it's chaos when I get home. It's not even, that word doesn't even mean a lot. How do you speak into people that home can and should be a place where encounter is there, and where discernment and love and peace and belonging kind of rule the day? Because I have been in your home, and I know how beautiful it is, and I know how wonderful your children are. So speak to us, those of us that are probably struggling a little bit in the chaos of the modern world. Bring home to that a little bit.
Jai, well, thank you. But being married to Janice, I give her a lot of the credit for creating that environment. I would say that I get to talk to a lot of guys, in this whole accompaniment. I think that's the biggest thing our guys have talked about in Capon's Men is accompaniment. It's just being with guys. It's just being listening to the stories and walking with them. One of the things, especially younger guys, that I realize is if you talk to a lot of guys will talk about their career. They'll talk about the issues they have. And they'll talk about success. And I've seen guys who are hugely successful in their homes. They're hugely successful with their children. They may not be where they want to be professionally. They may not be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish by living in a small community. Maybe they need to take the next step professionally to move to a new community or to take a promotion that's going to take them farther away from their home. Maybe not so much even physically move away from their home, but I mean just the commitments of time or whatever that is. And I tell them, I'll say, don't underestimate that the most important thing in your life, you are being amazingly successful at. And they will just look at me like, I haven't thought of that, or I haven't heard that, or I needed to hear that. And so I think that there are some, society sometimes is taking us away from the feeling of success in the family, as that is our primary place that we are successful. I see so many people, and if you can live through your 40s and 50s, people who are successful parents that maybe they didn't have the most successful career, but it was because they made the sacrifices to make incredible homes, and they were incredible family people. So I would just say that's one of the first things is for people to know their priorities. And we see some of these people and so that have incredible homes. So I think the home is where it's at. I was thinking about home, this whole notion of home and coming home and creating homes. And I was thinking of Father Capon. And I think that's one of the things that the graces of this whole walk with Father Capon was that, how you'll read scripture sometimes and you'll read it, then you'll reread that scripture later and God literally gives you the grace to understand it or see it at a different perspective or a different level. Father Capon experience has been kind of that way for me, because I heard the story and I've heard different stories. And then at times you have just different interpretations of the story. But this to put some context around this whole coming home, I was thinking of Father Capon. I was thinking of the craziness of today's world and this feeling that you had asked the question of people today. And I feel it too, Joe. I mean, as stable as our world is right now in my home and in our Pittsburgh community, but it's crazy. And I travel enough to see what crazy is looking like. And I follow enough national news to know that it's disturbing. A lot of the divisiveness that's being sown in every facet of our life. And then I was thinking about Father Capon, and I was thinking of 1950, and I was thinking about being in a prisoner of war camp, and the threat of communism and divisiveness. And I thought, don't kid ourselves. I mean, you talk about divisiveness and craziness. Think of what he had. And yet he created a home right there in that prisoner of war camp. And I was thinking, what is he doing? He's singing. He's feeding people. He's using humor. He sees somebody over there. He's a company that's lost their will to live, and he's picking lice out of their hair and talking them back with their will to live. I don't know if people realize the death rate in his camp was significantly different. A fraction of the number of people died in that camp, prisoner of war camp, than any other camp. And he was only there for, fraction of the years. So even after he left, the remaining of the years, he left a legacy of hope. So here he is in this dire, horrible situation, much worse than we are today even. And he created a home, and he created love and belonging and a feeling of hope. And so home is relative. I think I've always thought it was a very traditional nuclear family, and that's kind of been rocked over this last generation, and probably in a good way. But I thought Father Capon is still another example. That's just another example of how he's speaking to me personally, that just to create and bring home closer. I lived many years, my head was always, I wanted to go do this. I wanted to be bigger. I wanted to go, if only I could be over there, if I could be in a bigger community, business would be easier. Boy, there's more opportunities over there. And after Nick's incident, there's something that kind of flipped in me that brought home a lot closer. And I think that gratitude that I experienced really made me enjoy what I had, but also double down on the sense and feeling of community and to be more present, not only in my own home, but also in my own community in Pittsburgh, and to not only put that presence, not just in my in family, but in my community, not just my Catholic family, which I was spending most of my energy, but my extended family in the community, which meant it put me out there not just with Catholics, but with a broader group of people.
Now, I think that the idea of living in the moment and surrendering that moment to the Holy Spirit and really just being where you are is where God desires you to be. Joe, I want to make sure we don't get off the podcast. You're such a good inviter. You're so good at encouraging people to be part of things. And we do have a retreat coming up in October, and the theme of the retreat is home. So I'd love for you, if you don't mind, give those listening a little bit of a sneak peek on what they're going to experience on this retreat, and also maybe speak to the guys outside of Kansas as to a personal invitation from you to be part of this. Because I think this retreat has grown leaps and bounds, and I think each year gets better and better. So talk to me a little bit about home as the theme for the retreat, and maybe give a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what folks can expect.
Yeah, the Capon's Bend Retreat is it's a life-changing experience. We have been doing this, I don't even know, Joe, how many years now? 7, 8 years?
A whole bunch.
I don't know. A lot of years. And guys, I would just say, anybody listening to this, I would strongly encourage you to mark your calendars. It's coming up October, was it 10th? Looking here, October 9th and 10th. It's going to be in Wichita, Kansas. You can go online and get the information. It is a come home theme. And it is going to be tremendous. Joe is going to lead us through the process again. We're going to have an opportunity to break open the whole this whole notion of come home, and with Father Capon being with us and home, we're going to have the opportunity to actually be in prayer, adoration, be able to spend some time with Father Capon with the tomb in the cathedral, which is going to be an amazing experience. We'll have some amazing speakers that will give perspectives that will allow us to kind of break it open our own notion of what coming home means, not just from a Father Capon perspective, but our own spirituality. But more than that, just to be able to bump up with people, like-minded people that are going through the same things we're going through, have some time for prayer, some quiet time, then some time to visit with like-minded people. It is really it's an uplifting period, and I would highly recommend if you're looking for a chance to get away for 24 hours, get to Wichita, Kansas, and spend this time. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. I will say to everyone, if you're on the fence, this retreat, I laugh harder, I pray harder. I feel like I have lifelong friendships with a lot of these men, and we've done life together for a long time. So try to make plans to be there if you can. It's certainly well worth the trip. And the added bonus this year of sitting in the cathedral next to the space where Father Capon himself is, and you can invite his prayers as you grow closer to Jesus. So, Joe, you know we pray for you. I pray for you every day, and I know you pray for Capon's men and those listening. I would just want to ask you to pray us off the podcast, but know that I'm grateful for your friendship, and I know that Capon's men is grateful for your leadership through all these years. You've done a lot, my friend, and it's really a blessing to spend time with you on the podcast. So pray us off the podcast.
I will, Joe. And as I go off, I just want to return. You have been an incredible gift to Capon's men. You have been there every step of the way, from the very beginning when we started, to retreats and to spreading Father Capon's message across the country, in all of that you've done. So thank you for all you've done, and we're so grateful to know you as a friend, and just to have you walk this walk with us. So thank you very much. So I have a prayer that I'd like to do. This Nick and I and Daniel, both my sons are in the business with me, and one day we were going to end our meeting with a prayer, and all of a sudden Daniel, off the top of his head, rips this prayer off, and basically is one that he had created from just kind of several thoughts, and it's become our company prayer that we say in the morning. So if I could, I would like to end with that. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of today. Refresh me. Invite me to discover your presence in each person that I meet and every event encountered. Teach me when to speak, when to listen, when to ponder, and when to share. In moments of challenge and decision, attune my heart to the whisperings of your wisdom. As we undertake ordinary and unnoticed tasks, gift me with simple joy. When my day goes well, may I rejoice. When it grows difficult, surprise me with new possibilities. When life is overwhelming, call me to Sabbath moments to restore your peace and harmony. And may my living today reveal your goodness. Amen.
Joe, we really appreciate all that you've done for Father Capon's story. But not only that, for taking up his spirit of encouragement and walking with others. Your conversation today challenges us to embrace our current situation just like you did and just like Father Capon did. How can we bring a sense of home to our lives and to our relationships? If we allow God to show us that, we'll be doing his will. You also mentioned the retreat this year, which will be October 9th and 10th in Wichita. If anyone's interested, we have more info online at capensmen.com. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole, and as always, stay humble and stay courageous.
we can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.